The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
This is the National Networker. Here's your host, Adam Kovitz.
Hello and welcome to the National Networker Show. My name is Adam J. Kovitz. I am the Executive Director of the Relationship Networking Industry Association, RNIA, as well as the CEO, founder, and publisher of the National Networker. Today, I'm very excited to have with us, I think, one of the up-and-coming stars in the world of relationship networking on several fronts. He's a lot of things to a lot of people. First of all, we're really grateful to have him as the political editor for the National Networker. He's also heavily involved in the in Relationship Networking Industry Association. But aside from that, he's known in politics. He's actually the CEO of his own organization called Best Solutions. And so without further ado, Matthew Best. Matt, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Adam.
I appreciate it. Matt, tell me a little bit about your background and how you kind of came into this, you know, the world of networking, so to speak, and how you found it.
Sure, I'll be happy to do that. You know, it's one of the questions everybody always asks is, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself when you're on an interview, and everybody always has the same answer. Well, I have a unique background, and in this case, I really do feel like I have a unique background of politics and government. I went to Grove City College in Western Pennsylvania, graduated with a degree in political science, and it was actually a second major for me. So I had started out with biology and couldn't handle the labs, thought I was doing the same thing every week, and so I went to something that I loved.
There was only so much dissecting of fetal pigs that you can do.
That's right.
It gets old after a while.
And you know, taking one measurement from one glass thing to another, it just didn't connect with me. So, and you know, God love the people that do it. We need those folks. So nothing wrong with that. It just wasn't for me.
Okay.
So I went to politics. It's a subject that I've always loved. I really attribute that to my especially my dad. I always watched the Friday evening programs on PBS and talk about politics and the importance of it. So I graduated with a degree in political science from Grove City. When I graduated, I went to Washington, D.C. I worked for a United States Congressman, Phil English, who's from the Erie, Pennsylvania area. And I worked for a lobbyist while I was down there. When I got married and moved to Pennsylvania, I had my own government affairs firm for a while, and then I worked for a state representative up until the government got rid of my job. Also, during all of that time, I've been heavily involved in campaign politics, managing campaigns from the local level on up to some federal level races, and been involved in. I'm a blogger twice over. I have my own blog, and I contribute to another one.
That's the Courage of Conviction blog, right?
CourageofConviction.org is my blog, and then also I contribute to PAWatercooler.com, which is a group of other I guess you can say political junkies who have an interest, especially the focus on Pennsylvania politics. Been involved in statewide organizations. You know, I just provided strategy for a race just a couple weeks ago. We ended up getting the most votes out of that 8-way race for 4 seats. My candidate had lost by 15 votes 2 years ago, and this time through with my help, and you know, he did a great job campaigning. He ended up winning, got the most votes. Lots of background in politics. And as far as the connection to networking, politics, you know, everybody says that, you know, politics is the second oldest profession, and we all know what the first is. But politics ultimately is about who you know. It's always been about who you know. Because especially, I think a good example of that is when you go to Washington, D.C., and you work there, and I was a staffer down there, everybody has a degree of some sort, and everybody is very intelligent, and everybody is very much with it, and they're all driven, and they have all these very similar characteristics, and ultimately what it comes down to is, who do you know? You know, did you help somebody on a campaign? Well, then they got to really understand what you were about, what your work ethic was about. They got to know you. And ultimately, if you think about how legislation moves forward, it's through compromise. It's through relationships. People could be on opposite ends of the ideological spectrum, but they may have an opportunity to work together on a piece of legislation that they have a common interest in. Well, how are they going to do that unless there's some kind of networking and relationship that's being built? There's an old saying in politics which goes that today's friend is tomorrow's opponent, and today's opponent is tomorrow's friend. Sure. And ultimately, when you take a look at what networking is maybe it's not to that extreme, but it's the idea of, well, maybe I can help you today, and maybe I can't, but maybe I can do that again tomorrow. Maybe I can help you, and vice versa. And so networking has always been a significant part of politics. The two are very much married together. So that was the initial interest that I've had with taking the whole idea of politics into networking.
Sure. Now you also have, obviously, part of your business is geared towards helping helping run campaigns. The other part of your business is consulting in another area. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. I'm an entrepreneurial coach, and the whole idea of what an entrepreneurial coach is there's lots of different coaches out there, and they all the whole idea of coaching is really a pretty recent phenomenon. And so I classify myself as an entrepreneurial coach because, I'm an entrepreneur, and so I can't really help. Yeah, I'm not looking for huge corporations or anything like that. My clients are the type of folks, as I like to describe, they suffer from EADD, which is Entrepreneurial Attention Deficit Disorder.
Yes.
Which is, it's the idea that, just like ADD, you get easily distracted. Well, entrepreneurs, very creative individuals, very driven, and they don't have to have like one-man operations. They can have nice, well-established companies, but those decision makers is pretty much what I'm talking about. They, as driven and as creative as they are, sometimes it can be to their detriment, and they lose focus because it's that shiny object syndrome. And
sure.
And, they understand the importance of the long term and the vision and the values and all that. Where they lose sight is that short term focus, understanding the importance of the short term. So one day, here's a great way to get to that long term vision. Tomorrow comes along, well, here's a better way, so we're going to leave that short term solution we had yesterday. We're going to leave that and go down this road. And then the next day, again, they do the same thing. And so actually, ultimately, they never end up getting anywhere because they keep losing focus of the short term and never make a decision to find the importance of the short term and realize how important it is to accomplish the long term.
Now, Matt, you were talking about this concept of that you term as EADD. Do you think that this is EADD is something that is... is it getting worse? Is it getting better? Do you think entrepreneurs are getting better at handling this, or is it something that's on the rise? And if so, what's causing it?
I would have to say it's something that's really on the rise.
Yep.
And I think there's a few reasons for that. Number one, related to politics. That's ultimately what my initial language is. So, a lot of people, they think in English, I think in politics. And take a look at just our presidential election for next year.
Yep.
I've never seen so many candidates running for president, and not really the only person that you could say has an advantage over anybody, at least within one party or other, is Hillary Clinton, and yet it's still not guaranteed. But you take a look, especially on the Republican side of the ballot, and here there's a legitimate claim to four candidates who are the leading candidate.
Okay.
And, you have a possibility of some other ones rising up from second or third tier status. So much choice. We have so much freedom and so much choice. We've benefited from past generations that possibilities, we have more possibilities now than we've ever had in our lives.
Yep.
And so with that comes a lot of responsibility. And with that comes the idea of we have to make a decision and stick with that decision instead of always chasing after what could be better. What's, you know, the other side of the fence, that, you know, having greener. So the other part of that, I'd say, is just because also we have the one part is so many choices. The other part of it is we're a 30-second society, soundbite society.
Sure.
And so, you know, not only do we have lots of choices, but it's all coming at us at the same time. And I really think that when you take a look at entrepreneurism today, that's the case. Is you've got so many possibilities that, you know, even you look at my market, it used to be just central Pennsylvania for my coaching clients until I was referred to a prospect in Germany. And all of a sudden, man, my world just blew up.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I think it's really on the rise, especially the global age that we are really in right now.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was giving a talk to a Chamber of Commerce the other day, and I brought up that point, or at least the point was brought up to me, and I said, you know, for the first time, you know, based upon globalization, based upon, you know, the Internet and the nature of networking, you know, networking on the Internet is kind of interesting because it is a it's mostly free, you know, and you know, so things tend to follow the path of least resistance and when it comes to networking. I said, you know, for the first time in our lives, I mean, we're really like kids in a candy shop, except we have unlimited funds with which to buy candy. The store that we're in has an unlimited supply of candy, and there's an unlimited amount of clerks, so you just have to know which ones, you know, will give you the best service. And so more than ever, you know, with all this choice, we have to figure out, we have to focus on really who we are.
Right.
And we have to be able to manage our time. And to me, it sounds like, a leading cause, like you said, a leading cause of that EADD that's out there.
Absolutely, I think that's a great analogy of what it's all about is that candy store is just, and it, not only is the candy store got lots of options and the supply is limitless and there's enough checkout counters to go around, but the store is continually growing. As well, so I think that's a great analogy.
Yeah. Now, so let's go back to a moment to the National Networker. Now,
mm-hmm.
you've been writing for us for over a year now. How did you? Yeah. Now, let me. I think I remember it. We met each other at a convention.
Yes.
Okay. What you know, and I don't know exactly what it is that we got into a good conversation. I remember that. My question to you is, what made you decide to get involved and become the writer for us?
Being the consummate entrepreneur, I saw opportunity in one part of here's something that's a growing field. I recognized, I don't like to use the word trend, but I'm going to use it in this case. I recognized the trend of what's happening, that the whole idea of networking is really starting to take off. And people, you know, this is the time when people are looking at, you know, being involved in sites like LinkedIn and Facebook and all these other social networking sites, and they know they got to get lots of contacts.
Yep.
in their network, but then they're asking the question, well, now what? So it's kind of like this first stage. So the first thing that I saw was, wow, this is a great opportunity. This is where things are heading. And number two, it also fits in with my business.
Sure.
As well. You know, doing strategic planning, you know, networking is a part of my strategic plan. And networking in a variety of different forms. And this is an excellent opportunity that I've, you know, I want to thank you again for inviting me to do this, because this is this combination of politics, of networking, and even the EADD idea, it's kind of rolled into one, and I love to write, so it was an excellent opportunity, and you know, I had to be crazy not to jump on it.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and it certainly was a big boon for us. So what can we expect from you over the next few months in the National Networker? What kind of things are you working on for us?
I got two articles going right now that I'm working on. One is a continuation that I did from last month, which had to do, I took a different look than I have previously at the power of publications, online and more traditional print publications, interviewed a political publication that's just launching. That's from the conservative side of the political realm. It's called Penn Republican, and their focus obviously is on conservative ideas and whatnot. And they focus on Pennsylvania politics. I had interviewed the publisher and founder of that, and asked him really, you know, what kind of impact publishing and print media has on networking and vice versa. And really, it was a great conversation about the power of networking driving media and vice versa. Yes. to really implement ideas. What I'm the second part of that is going to be interviewing somebody from a large blog from the liberal side of the spectrum. Again, I imagine that the ideas are going to be similar, but I really want to show that regardless of political spectrum, the same thing is happening. That's ultimately the real key, and that networking is a means to accomplishing a lot of things. It's very much very foundational, and so a lot of times when I'm looking at writing articles, I'm trying to get those different type of angles, things that people don't necessarily associate with politics. A lot of times, I've interviewed a lot of candidates, and those are always great interviews. But I really like the idea of interviewing, you know, activist organizations or lobbyists or grassroots organizations, the print media. Actually, one of the other articles that I have coming up, I had interviewed Mike Orshan, who had worked for the governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson, one of the directors of his administration.
Yeah, we had Mike on the show, sure.
Yeah, and you know, talking about the whole idea of bridge building and clusters and how that affects social networks and how it's affected political campaigns, not just political campaigns, but policy and government. Fascinating, because that's really an idea of a combination of politics and business. It affects both of those very much along the same type of line. So
sure.
those are a couple of the articles that I have coming up.
Wonderful, wonderful. And let's talk for a moment about RNIA. Now, you chose to get involved with that organization as well, and of course we're grateful for that. Currently, you're one of the group leaders of the Common Body of Knowledge, or CBOC. You're working with organization as a person. Tell me more about that and what that entails.
That the organization as a person, as I understand, is really it's really the idea of taking a look at. I'm going to use an example of like a large company like IBM. And, you know, networking happens in a lot of different ways. And so if you take the idea of IBM, you have networking that's happening internally within that organization. And I'm not talking about networking, obviously, in terms of computer networking, even though it's a computer company, but networking in the terms of the people within that organization. Because in order to accomplish their common goal, they have to be communicating, they have to have common values, they have to have common goals, and the only way that that's going to happen is if they're all in alignment on so many different levels. They have to be communicating. They have to want to help each other succeed. And so you've got the internal part of it. And then at the same time, you've got the external, which is IBM connecting with other organizations as well. I almost view this organization as a person. Very much the image that comes to my mind is taking a look at best solutions. Okay, mm-hmm. Is me the person as best solutions talking with other companies, but it's also like the vital functions that are going on inside of my body.
Yep.
Networking within that. You talk about there's a nervous system that runs throughout your entire body, which in one sense is a network.
Yes.
Which runs from your head, your brain, down to your pinky toe. And it all has to be running smoothly, because otherwise now all of a sudden you're not functioning at 100%. And if you're not functioning at 100% physically, it's going to start affecting the other areas of your life, whether that's financially, whether that's in your career, whether that's in your family, however. And then, of course, then that's going to have an impact on you professionally.
Yes.
And so it's no different, in my mind, when I look at this idea of organization as a person, of what's the health of this organization, the networking within, and on the outside as well. Is there good networking going on with this company with other organizations as well? Just as, you know, me communicating with you, how well is that working?
Sure.
Is it functioning at the best possible level that it could be? So that when I take a look at this area, that's what comes to my mind.
Excellent. Before we wrap up, I wanted to just get a little idea from you. From your perspective, what do you feel? What does the future hold for the relationship networking industry, as far as you can see?
That's a great question. That's the $64,000 question. And of course, if I knew the answer to that, I'd be a very rich man right now. But what I see as far as the trend, it kind of goes back to one of your first questions of why I got involved in this, is, and we had talked about this earlier before the interview, is the idea I saw something here, and I could see that networking was happening, and it was becoming a little more, I don't want to say formalized, but there's a little more structure, that's not even the right word to it. People are starting to understand the importance of it in a different way than they had previously. And it wasn't, people are, what I had said was, I don't think I could put my finger on it, but it's there, and I can see where, in a broad sense, where it's going. I just can't put my finger on it. I think that's where a lot of people are right now. It kind of goes back to the question of, okay, I've got 500 people in my LinkedIn network, now what?
Yep.
I know there's an answer to that question, I just don't know what the answer is yet.
Sure.
But if I keep working on this, I'm going to come up with an answer, you know. If the question is asked, it means there is an answer. It just doesn't mean I don't have the answer yet.
Excellent.
So that's what I see is happening with this. Is I think a lot of people understand the importance. They just don't know exactly what the answer is yet, but it's there.
Matt Best, I appreciate you being on the show. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that, Matt?
There's a few ways that people can get in touch with me. I'm always welcome to take phone calls. Doesn't mean I'll answer right away, but I'll get back to you as soon as I can. My phone number is 717-557-5001. Also by email, which is Matt@somedayisland.com, somedayisland.com. And also through my website, which is www.somedayisland.com.
Excellent. And, of course, you can catch Matt every month in the National Networker. And at this time, I want to thank you for joining us today. I also wanted to thank our sponsors, Small Biz America, as well as Founder Contact. We appreciate your support. And catch us again the next time on the National Networker Show. This has been Adam Kovitz, and we'll see you the next time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the National Networker. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.